What is the role of higher ed today in an economy being disrupted by tariffs and AI? Jean-François Coget, Dean of the School of Business at Sacramento State, joins us to discuss how the school is shaping the region's workforce and preparing students for an AI-transformed economy. Welcome, Dean Coget.
Well, thank you for having me on the show, Scott.
I want to start with this. We're in a world where it is that it seems like that the old rules, go to school, get a good education, select a major where there's a lot of jobs and a lot of opportunity, and then, you know, do your darndest to position yourself when you graduate to go ahead and move into the economy and then flourish in your career. There is a lot of worry right now that AI and technology in general has disrupted that old equation between getting prepared and there being jobs waiting for you. What do you hear on the ground, and what's Sac State thinking about on this?
Yeah, no, that's a very real perception that I'm very aware of, and all of us in higher education are. The perception that the return on investment, or ROI, to use a business term, is of a college degree is declining. And what I would retort to that is with facts. The New York Fed estimates the median return on investment of college, of a college degree, to be 12.5%, which exceeds stock return and bonds. That varies from major to major. Business is definitely one of those areas that has a great return on investment. But that said, every time there's a new technology or a revolution happening, all organizations need to adapt, and that's true for higher ed. And higher ed is not always the most agile organizational form, and sometimes we're slow to adapt. And so there is now an urgency to adapt and make sure that we modernize and provide our students with the skills they need. So with that said, AI is one of the biggest revolutions, technological revolutions we've faced in decades. I would say it's bigger than the internet, or it's comparable to the advent of personal computers, the internet, cell phones.
I actually heard one person say last week that they considered it on the level of electricity.
Yes,
almost.
I would compare it to the Industrial Revolution, which is when we figured out how to use oil to coal to power machines that could replace human labor. And think about it: when you apply a machine and replace its what is arm and human strength, right? They would build stuff. You can have enormous gains of productivity, but it didn't happen overnight. You need to reorganize the work in a completely different manner, in an assembly line that, for example, Ford came up with the assembly line for the Ford T, and reduced the time it would take to build a car by hand from 1.5 days to 1.5 hours. So AI has the potential to do that for white-collar jobs, but it's not going to happen by itself. And the role that higher ed has is the same as it ever was. It doesn't really change. It's to teach critical thinking, to provide students with basic knowledge, to understand the world, so that they can ask good questions and evaluate the answers of those questions. And that's AI right now. If you look at the type of AI that is the most popular, ChatGPT, large language model AI, can give you fantastic answers if you know how to ask good questions.
If you know how to ask good questions.
Yeah.
I know that you've been working on this and that Sac State has been leading conversations on coming up with an answer to all this uncertainty. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, so we are embracing AI transformation as our top strategic priority at the university and in the College of Business. The College of Business is leading the way. We just got approved a new program, a new concentration in AI management in the College of Business for undergraduates. It's a Bachelor of Science. Yeah, a Bachelor of Science in Business Administration with a concentration in AI management. Very proud of that. We developed it in 6 months and got it approved, and it's already been offered.
Really?
Yes.
Now, where does that put you, you know, among other universities in California.
I think we're one of the first, if not the first in the CSU to have such a program. So we're very fast. The CSU, I have to say, the public education, we're very deliberative. We have a model of how we make decisions that we call shared governance, where the faculty have a lot of power in determining what needs to be taught and verifying the knowledge. That is critically important for the credentialing value that universities bring. You know, we verify the knowledge that you get.
Sure. Unlike TikTok.
Yeah, or like other, exactly, and like other forms, we have a lot of ways of verifying the knowledge we provide. You know, despite what some critics might say, we vet our knowledge a lot more than other institutions. So it takes more time to change, but we have to seize the change is happening faster and faster in the economic cycle, in business, we're aware of that. I think the AI revolution in 5 years, the world will look completely different. Every job will look differently. AI, accounting using AI, marketing using AI, strategy using AI, supply chain, you name it, anything, nursing, all of that will be enhanced. 60% of all jobs, you know, is that the estimates, will be affected by AI. That doesn't mean that they will disappear. They will be reorganized. Some will disappear. Some new jobs will appear. And so we need, as a university, to anticipate that and change our programs to provide the skills that our students will need tomorrow. So that's what we're doing now. We're revising our curriculum. Beyond that one program, we're revising our entire curriculum at the university to try to anticipate what those skills will be. But we need to partner with community to figure that out, because nobody knows exactly.
Well, let's go a little bit deeper on that. Mm-hmm. Now, your sort of research focus, career-wise, yep, has been organizational behavior and development.
That's correct. Right?
Yeah. And the concern, to kind of put it in that context, mm-hmm, it's very heartening to hear about your new AI-focused undergrad, mm-hmm, degree program.
Yeah.
And it's also very heartening to hear about how you and your team are working on, mm-hmm, figuring out how to meaningfully infuse, mm-hmm, AI, mm-hmm, throughout the curriculum of all of the different disciplines that you teach.
Right.
Let's go to the organizational behavior and environmental kind of issues. Mm-hmm. People are scared,
yeah,
Dean Cogier.
Mm-hmm.
People are scared because what they're experiencing is that for more senior level people, either they don't understand AI, they don't know how to prompt, and they're concerned about whether or not they're going to be able to hang on to their jobs, right?
Mm-hmm.
At the middle management level, people, large corporations are clearing people out,
mm-hmm,
and collapsing levels of organizations to make them more efficient, which, yep, you, in one way, you can't argue with that because that, you know, they're driven by shareholder, mm-hmm, returns.
Yep.
But then at the bottom level,
mm-hmm,
there's a very distinct concern that the latter, where people could come into the workforce after graduating,
mm-hmm,
that employers are cynically saying, well, you know what? We can automate, mm-hmm, 80% of, mm-hmm, what these young people are coming out of school with,
mm-hmm,
with their bachelor's degrees or master's degrees. And so we only need, you know, if we needed 10, we only need 2.5,
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
And so how does the school help prepare the students for those internal conversations, mm-hmm, when they have to interact and engage the world where it feels like, at least, it's getting, mm-hmm, tougher.
Yeah.
All right. To find your place on the ladder.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a very good question. I'm very aware of these fears, and I think to some extent they are valid. And we need to take them seriously and think about solutions about it. But first, I would like to say that I think the scenario you described, I believe, may be over.
Exaggerated.
Over-exaggerated,
okay.
Yes. I think there will be certainly impact on jobs, but not like 80% of entry-level jobs disappearing, not to that level. And I would turn back again to the Industrial Revolution, what we've learned from the lessons. I think that's a good way. We can look at that period in history and figure out what happened and how to avoid the mistakes of the past, I would say. But jobs did not disappear. In fact, there was a boom in jobs. What happened with the mass production markets, which led to the mass consumption society, the consumer society we know and take for granted today, was ignited by the Industrial Revolution. And yes, the artisanal jobs disappeared and were replaced by factory jobs. And that had some negative effects. They were more boring, they were more repetitive. But what Ford did is they increased wages tremendously. At the time, it was in the 1930s, $5 a day was their slogan. Sounds not like much today, but with inflation, I don't know what it would be, but it was a huge increase, right? So that was one way to assuage the problem. But I would say, there will be jobs that will be displaced, and what you hear often is it's not that AI will displace people. It's people who know how to use AI will displace people who don't know how to use AI. So we're making sure at Sac State that it will be done by a Sac State person who knows how to use AI.
Made at Sac State, right?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. I mean, and we believe in access. You know, this is a new technology that levels the playing field in a way. So yes, it is a threat, but it levels the playing field. And so for the students we have at Sac State who are from deserving backgrounds, but maybe they didn't have the same educational privilege that some might have had, AI could, if they learn how to use AI, they could actually overcome some of their underprivilege, if you will, and use it as a liberating tool. I might sound a little over-optimistic here, but I remember Steve Jobs, the late Steve Jobs, who called the computer a bicycle for the mind. You know, I always remember that metaphor, right?
Okay.
Which was, the bicycle is the most efficient machine, if you will, that if you compare it to a person running or walking with your single muscle power, you can go much faster, increase your efficiency tremendously, right? Same with a computer. AI is like that, but to another level, another power. And so there's a lot of dangers with it. It's a very powerful tool. There's a lot of limitations to it as well. It's not as magical as people think, you know. Mm-hmm. But it has a lot of power, and I think it's time to train the people to understand it and to use it responsibly to empower them. And I think it's also important to not let the corporations, and I'm a business team saying that, but take all of the profits, all of the productivity gains from AI and acquire it like happened in the Industrial Revolution. There should be a more equal distribution of the productivity gains between the workers and the companies, and to avoid having and to create a better society. In the end, it will benefit also corporations, because well-paid employees make consumers that then stimulate the economy. So,
you know, it's interesting you say that. So I am from Detroit, Michigan, okay? And so Henry Ford was a pretty big deal back there.
Mm-hmm.
And to take your story from a few minutes ago just a little bit further, one of the reasons that he raised wages and also pushed for automation in the Industrial Revolution was because he wanted to make sure that his own employees could afford his own products.
Yep.
That's right.
Yep.
And so it was kind of a virtuous circle.
Yes.
So what you're referring to right now in terms of employers making sure that they don't take everything off the table, the investors don't take everything off the table, is to make sure that similarly, in this revolution, there's still a virtuous circle for everybody.
And to some extent, we benefit tremendously on that in California. We have a majority of the biggest tech companies in the world in California. And even though some of them are leaving, they come back. Even Elon Musk is back in San Francisco after leaving, you know, slamming the door to Texas, because we have the know-how, we have the talent in San Francisco and Silicon Valley and elsewhere for AI.
And Sacramento.
And Sacramento, with part of the greater Bay Area. I would love to attract more tech to Sacramento. That's part of my gambit with investing in tech and AI in the College of Business.
Well, that's actually an interesting thought. What do you think are the ingredients we need to add more to the Sacramento sort of stew?
Yeah.
In order to be able to attract more of those companies to come here. Now, we know the secret is we know that a lot of the people live here and commute to the Bay Area because it's more affordable here, or they like the quality of life. Yeah. How do we get more of that bricks and mortar down here?
In some ways, it's already happening. It's during the pandemic, I think it started, people realized, Sacramento is so close to the Bay Area. It's much more affordable. I always hate to emphasize that secret here on the TV and have more people come in because there's been an influx of people coming here. The quality of life is incredible. I've lived all over California and I moved here 3 years ago and I love it here. It's a wonderful city. It's the most affordable city in California. Reasonable size city. So that alone, housing is affordable, it's less congested, cost of living is affordable. So that is a huge asset. We're also the capital city with the center of the Central Valley. We have a lot of water, we have a lot of we're a confluence of a logistical hub. And we are really, in fact, we're already in the Silicon Valley. So we have already companies moving here. It's kind of a trend. I think we just need to encourage them more of them to come here. Part of the strategy for us in the university is to create the workforce they need.
And I know that your president, Luke Wood, mm-hmm. is very big on making sure that the campus is projecting itself outward into the yes. community and things like that. Mm-hmm. What are some of the important partnerships that you're going to be leveraging or you are leveraging currently to try and have more Sac State in more places helping to build this economy?
Absolutely. So the state is a huge stakeholder and public institution. So even though we're a business school, a lot of our students end up working in the public sector because we're in Sacramento. And so we are right now, for example, in addition to our AI concentration, are working on developing an AI certificate that might be focused on state employees to help that train them. The state is looking to apply AI to revolutionize how it functions.
Sure.
So we're doing that, but I'm also exploring partnership with all of the tech players, OpenAI, Microsoft, LinkedIn. I tell you, for example, right now, that I hope this gets LinkedIn, this partnership comes to fruition, but we were exploring a way to partner with LinkedIn to match our data of our students with the data they have on LinkedIn on their career outcomes and the skills they have to, talking about return on investment, demonstrate the return on investment of our college degree and track what skills they have, and then in return use that data to change our curriculum, to use that feedback loop to have continuous improvements, to make sure that we continuously change our program, freshen them up, and correct any deficiencies we may see in the data. So that's one example. But we have the Chancellor's Office, the CSU system has a connection with OpenAI. We have free ChatGPT EDU, which is the equivalent of the plus version for everybody in the CSU. So, and there's a lot of trainings and other relationships that they're leveraging that we are benefiting from. So, we'd love to explore public-private partnerships, potential co-locations of services that could benefit the state and or other stakeholders in Sac State around AI, for example, healthcare. Mm-hmm. So, lots of. It's in some ways it's a continuation of the strategy. We define ourselves as an anchor university, which in fact is a Carnegie designation. It's like universities. We're also an R2, which is a high intensive research university, and we are considered high community engagement. And we really think of ourselves as the Sacramento's university, and we've always been. But we want to have stronger ties even with the community.
Sure. Yep. I want to come back on the value of the college degree. Mm-hmm. And you talked about a potential partnership with LinkedIn, and that sounds interesting on validating the value of the degree.
Yep.
If Peter Thiel, the billionaire investor, who is going around the country right now saying, skip college, college is a con, it's a bust. Just go ahead and start your own business or go directly into the workforce. If he were sitting here right now, what would your response to him be?
No, I mean, I would say he makes a good point, honestly. He makes a good point. And for some, it may be correct. Not everybody needs to go to college. And there are a lot of, people need to understand what they are into. There's this Venn diagram for what is the best careers. What you're good at, what you like to do and what the world needs, right? The intersection of that is how you're going to find your career. There's things you like but you're not good at, or things you're good at but the world doesn't need, right? So there's all kinds of ways to do this wrong. But for example, and especially in the AI world, for example, jobs like plumbing, electrical, trades, those are going to be, to some degree, AI-proof, although I think AI probably will enhance them also. And a perfectly respectable career where you can earn a good living and you don't need to go to college for that. But with that said, I would say college enhances the return on investment we discussed is real. And for the majority of the people, it's going to be a great investment. Now, there are a few, what Peter Thiel is referring to is the entrepreneur who strikes it rich after quitting college, like Steve Jobs and Bill Gates. And for every Steve Jobs and Bill Gates, that story that we hear, there are hundreds or thousands of stories of people who quit college and who did not strike it rich.
Yes.
And who even maybe have started a company and failed miserably. So we don't hear those. So it's a statistical inaccuracy or error. It's a bias. We call it bias in psychology to think that because they are so visible, those examples that are successful. It's like becoming a movie star or famous singer, same thing, right? Celebrity. Most people, the chances of making it are low, but they're so visible that people are like, think it's achievable. So I would say, yes, a few will strike it rich with a Peter Thiel scholarship, but the majority won't. And so college is not buying a lottery ticket. Mm-hmm. College is giving you more surefire return on investment.
Well, I will co-sign on that and tell you this. As a serial entrepreneur who had multiple turns at Sac State, as you well know, right, and finally graduated, mm-hmm. Not having the degree, I was able to make money.
Yeah.
But after finishing the degree, that's how I learned how to keep the money.
Yeah.
So sometimes going out and starting a business is great, but having the training and the experience and the resources and relationships to sustain and grow that business become even more critical. So
I'm glad to hear you say that. And so it gives you a perspective, a worldview beyond skills. You know, universities are not just about skills. You know, we're not just trade schools. And also it gives you a network. It's a family. So talking about the College of Business, we have 50,000 alums.
50,000.
Sac State, 360,000. 70% of which are in the greater Sacramento area. So I can tell you, as a dean of business, if I want to meet CEOs or people high up in government or anywhere else, I will find Sac State College of Business graduates almost everywhere. So it's an unparalleled network. And if you compare to, say, UC Davis, which is another fantastic university near us, and it's most of the grads don't stay in the region. It's a very prestigious university. They have great degrees. But if you want to live in Sacramento, greater Sacramento, and have a network, Sac State is the way to go.
I never knew that. I can't let you go without asking you about one other thing, and that is about tariffs. Very, very quickly. Mm-hmm. You're from France. Okay, you've been in the U.S. for a number of years, mm-hmm. and you understand kind of like the trade relationships.
Right.
What's your opinion of the impact of these tariffs, if they're sustained, mm-hmm. on the U.S. economy and workforce?
Mm. Yeah, that's a very complex topic. I do want to say that I tend to favor free trade and believe that tariffs tend to have a negative impact overall. At the same time, President Trump has a policy, is using it for other public policy goals. That it's a long game. That it's too early to tell whether it's going to be positive or negative, right? But overall, I would say that it impedes trade. It doesn't encourage the free exchange, the free flow of information and goods in a way that I think is confusing the equation. It's making it more complicated to do business, and plus the erratic nature of them changing constantly is making it much harder to predict. So it's increasing uncertainty, and I understand also the long-term, the gambit to rebuild an industrial base in the U.S. with tariffs, but that's a long plan that would take decades to actually happen. And I'm not sure that the tariffs will achieve that. So from this perspective, I'm a little skeptical. But yeah, I mean, it's a complex topic. I'm not an economist, and I would say I'm a little bit beyond my depth to know what the final answer is going to be.
Okay. That's fine. Mm-hmm. And we will leave it there. Yep. Dean Cogier, thank you so much for coming on and sharing with us the exciting new programs that are going on at the College of Business, and hope that you'll join us again when you've got some success stories to tell.
Yeah, well, thank you very much, Scott. It's a pleasure to be here, and I appreciate the opportunity.
All right. And that's our show. Thanks to our guests, and thanks to you for watching Studio Sacramento. I'm Scott Syphax. See you next time right here on KVIE.
Thank you for listening to Studio Sacramento from KVIE Public Television. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a review on iTunes to help others find it.
All episodes of Studio Sacramento, along with other KVIE programs, are available to watch online at kvie.org/video.